often we don't know what we don't know until we do. And that takes a curious someone to find out. And when you don't know what you're after, whatever you find, if you've never seen it before, well, it's a treasure. NOAA Deputy Superintendent of the Papahanaumokuakea Marine Reserve, Randall Kosaki, went out on a 26-day journey to document the deep reefs. We talked earlier this week about how he approached that trip.
It's hard to have a preconceived notion of what you're going to find, because what we're doing, it's more than just research, actually. It's exploration. So many of the deep reefs that we're diving on, in fact, all of the deep reefs we're diving on, are coral reefs that no human being has ever laid eyes on. And so it's hard to guess what you're going to find. You have to be receptive to all sorts of conditions and organisms, things you didn't expect. And so it's always a surprise. Every dive, there's something new.
That's sort of the whole point of exploration. But how wonderful that you got to have that kind of experience as opposed to going down there to document a something or, you know, a preconceived notion.
Well, one of the great things about the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands is that they're very remote and fairly pristine. Their distances really preserve them. And so here we have an opportunity to document not just new things, new species, organisms that haven't been seen in Hawaii before, but we can document a baseline for the Hawaiian archipelago of what a healthy reef should look like. And this is true on the shallow reefs or the deep reefs. But that's really unique in an era when, in most cases, biologists are documenting some kind of decline or human impacts, or generally humans have not been kind to ecosystems, but this is one area that's been fairly well protected from humans.
Are you extremely struck by the irony that as we're talking about Montipper-White syndrome and other ills in Kauai, Maui, Oahu, that you have this pristine place that does show us what we once were and might, if we're lucky, be again?
Yeah, it does exactly that. It showed us what the Hawaiian Islands probably used to look like before 1,000 years of fishing. And with a little better management, I think we could come closer to this. It sets goals for restoration. As far as coral disease goes, so far we've been lucky, and I better knock on wood, that our disease levels in the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands are fairly low. But it's one of the cases where some of these problems that are global in nature and not local, for example, climate change, increasing sea surface temperatures, seawater acidification, will still impact these remote reefs. And coral disease may be one of those things that is actually out of our control because it may come from outside our archipelago. So our crews also went to Johnston Atoll, which is a few hundred miles south of here, which may be a key stepping stone into Hawaii for a lot of the corals that we're interested, but also for the diseases of those corals that seem to be on the increase in the Central Pacific.
When we've talked about coral health worldwide, and certainly here in Hawaii, there's always that element, that wild card of, well, what if it comes here, it being whatever you want to fill in the blank. To some degree, can we prevent that, or really are we at the mercy?
Well, diseases are a normal part of the ecosystem. Every population has a presumably low-level, background level of disease. What concerns us are outbreak conditions when that starts to ramp up. And we may not be able to control the introduction of the disease itself, but if we can control some of the other stressors on the reef. Reefs are not unlike humans in that when you're stressed, you're more likely to come down with the disease. You're more vulnerable. So if we can control some of those proximate stressors, pollution, sedimentation, human impacts, people stepping on the corals, if we can minimize those other stresses, hopefully the coral's natural immune system will be able to resist the disease.
But we've said those kinds of things for years, you know, do what you can do. And that seems to, in some ways, fall on deaf ears the same way that maybe people hear it when their doctor says, you should lose weight, or, you know, you should exercise a little bit more. We know it's a good thing, but we don't tend to do it until it's too late. And there are some who are making the case that around some of the reefs in the mainland Hawaiian Islands that it may be too late.
As long as they're living corals, I don't think it's too late. Because if you look at the fossil record over the past 20 million years, there have been periods when there have been a lot of corals, and there have been periods when corals nearly went extinct. So corals come and go, and over evolutionary time, they show a lot of resilience. What we need to help them with is to maintain that resilience in ecological time so that things that happen next week and next month, they can rebound from next month and next year.
There's a lesson in that, too, though, in saying, look, you need a longer time horizon. And by the same token, as we know that there may be peaks and valleys in the health of coral, that doesn't give you an excuse not to be vigilant now.
No, that's exactly right. And what the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands give us is also not just a research opportunity, but a great educational and outreach tool. It's a tool that we can use to raise awareness about some of these problems that really are global in nature, that are beyond the control of any kind of regulations or legislation we might pass locally, to really call attention to problems of climate change, which may be one of the driving factors for disease. So it's an awareness-raising tool.
With the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands being so far away and so few of us who have actually laid eyes on them, is it hard to make us care?
It is a little bit more of a challenge because, as you point out, they're far away. Most people may never see them. And yet a surprising number of people place some sort of value on just knowing that there are remote places out there. I'll probably never get to the African Serengeti, but it's just amazing to know that places like that exist. And I think if we can send out messages that resonate with those thoughts with people, that we can still make this place relevant to day-to-day life.
What's a relevant message that you think works?
The loss of biodiversity is one of the big problems facing our globe, not just coral reefs, but rainforests or anywhere else. And this is one of the major things that drives our work, is actually to conserve and protect biodiversity. That's something that will enhance coral reef resilience, and not just in the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands. If we can conserve that kind of biodiversity locally here in the main Hawaiian Islands, that's a much better chance that we'll have coral communities that will be resilient in the face of climate change. They will keep building healthy coral reefs that create the sand for Waikiki beaches, coral reefs that create surf breaks, things that really matter in everyday life to a lot of folks here.
But caring about it and doing something about it seem to be two different things. I mean, you might get someone to say, oh, yeah, that would be a great thing to do. But changing the behavior part, that's really where it gets sticky. So how do you make a case for changing behavior for a place that you've never seen or may never see?
Well, I think we're on the right path, and it's not just about changing behaviors for the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands or for Hawaii's coral reefs. Again, it's a global issue. I think we're two or three steps down that path. I mean, people are buying electric cars. We're doing away with plastic shopping bags. Greenhouse gases is becoming more and more a household term. So people are generally becoming more and more aware, more conscious of these problems, and are doing things in their everyday lives that will ultimately improve the chances of this globe pulling through our human occupation. The challenge is to increase the rate of change. You know, we're not doing these things fast enough. We're moving in the right direction, but we're still not moving fast enough to curb our greenhouse gas emissions to the point where we can slow or even reverse global warming.
Some of that also comes back to how we started this conversation with exploration. In some cases, we don't know what we're protecting because we haven't found it yet, which is what you got to experience this time around. So how has that deepened the conversation for you when you talk to other people who, again, may not have any sort of fluency with this issue at all?
Well, that's one of the big advantages of very, very large marine protected areas. So the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands, at 140,000 square miles of ocean under protection, is a vast unexplored wilderness. And with the onset of climate change, we stand to lose some of the biodiversity before we even know it exists. So there is some sense of time urgency. There is some sensitivity there to try and document a lot of these things, because we may be losing species before we know they exist.
When are you going back?
We hope to have another cruise going back next summer. We do this once or twice a year.
Thanks so much, Randy, for being here.
Thank you.
Randall Kosaki is NOAA's Deputy Superintendent of Papahanaumokuakea Marine National Monument. He studies the behavioral ecology, the taxonomy, and biogeography of Pacific coral reef fishes. Pictures of the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands reefs are on hpr2.org. You can compare them to pictures of Kaneohe Bay Reef there on the website, too.